Or faith in the car to get you around. What other answers did you guys come up with? Feel free to yell them out. Credit card. Yeah, the plastic. Marlene. Yeah. I had a member in my last congregation. I said, or you know, I greet him and say, how are you going? He says, every day that I wake up is a good day. So yeah, just praising God that you wake up, that's good. I praise God when I don't have to get up, to be honest. What other things do people rely on? Family. Dinner on the table. Good on you, Gloria. She puts a good dinner on the table. You're a blessed man, Ron. What about in the back corner? Oh, we had plastic credit cards. Anything out? Catherine, do you want to share? No. I just like staring, Catherine. No. She relies sitting on up the back at church so no one notices her. Sorry. Good health. The list would be huge, wouldn't it, if you really wanted to put it down to all the things in this world that we rely on to get us through the day. And we're very blessed that we can rely on people to supply the electricity for the coffee machine to work, that someone's picked my coffee beans somewhere and someone else roasted them to perfection and someone in Italy designed my coffee machine to grind it and pump it out just in the right way. The list could just go on and on. I don't know where I'm going with this. There's a list. That's right. It would be huge, wouldn't it? Everyone lives in this faith-based system, don't they? We all put our faith in something. The question is what? Timothy Keller wrote a book about counterfeit gods, and in it he opened his book talking about the 2008 financial crash and how it really revealed what people were putting their faith in, who their God really was, because people took their lives over it. This concept of money, I don't know about you, money's a faith-based system, isn't it? Credit cards, I just have faith that I've got this X amount of money because there's a number on my bank statement in my bank account, and that means I can faithfully go out and IKEA faithfully gives me stuff as I say this is on my credit card. Money's a faith-based system. And when it comes crashing down, people who have staked their lives in it lose their meaning of life. It's crazy, isn't it? But we see it in lots of different ways. In family, when families come apart, workplaces, just having that job identity. Retired men have a problem with this. What's my meaning in life now that I don't have a job? Women do too, apparently. Back in the Reformers' day, back in 500 years ago, the church was having a problem of this understanding what faith meant for the church. They had gotten into relying on their own power and might to get them into heaven. There was a fear-based, we need to perform to know that God loves us. And it's amazing, as they got back into the Word, as we looked in last week, got back to the Word, they discovered that God doesn't judge us on our own ability in how good or strong we are at performance. God loves us because of His Son, who came and died for us, that saved us from our sins. He's done it all for us. And as the Reformers discovered that, they discovered that faith is the key to living in a key to our salvation, to know our standing with God, to give us hope in our lives. As the Reformers discovered that, they were willing to put their own lives on the line for that. Luther was told that his life was worth nothing by the emperor. Anyone could take his life and there'd be no consequence. But Luther continued to explain the Christian faith in a way that got it back to its heart, got it back into the Word, told people that it's in grace in Jesus Christ that we have salvation in His name. And if you put your faith in Him, you can have salvation. That message has never changed for the church. It's the message that we hear coming out in our readings today, this revelation that Jesus Christ came into this world. He's the one we can put our faith in. We see this coming out firstly in that gospel reading where Jesus goes into Capernaum and a centurion, a Roman soldier in charge of 100 soldiers, an important man of authority, has one of his servants who is sick on the verge of death. And he's looking for hope in this world. And because of his connection to the Jewish people, he's obviously made a friendship with them through building a synagogue, come to know their faith and their God. And he's heard of Jesus. And he stakes his faith, not in the things of this world, but in Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture for us. I think it's so important for us to know what this faith means for each and every one of our lives, because as we stand firm in our own faith, it actually should mean that we are outwardly active in sharing that faith with others. I don't know about you. I keep saying this to you, but I struggle in this area. I struggle standing up in my faith and letting it be known in the world through my words, you know, specific words, declaring Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I struggle in this area. So today I wanted to use these two readings to really encourage us in how we live out our faith. If we know that Jesus Christ died for us, if we know that he is our Savior and that in his name we have salvation, that we will see eternity with our Heavenly Father because of everything Jesus Christ has done for us, then we are told in Scripture that we have this faith that saves. It's not all that complicated. It's not all that, you don't have to go to theological college to understand this faith. It's quite simple. The early church shared it in a simple way. And it has the power to save lives. The centurion story teaches us about the authority of faith and how trusting in Jesus Christ as this amazing Savior can work with authority in our lives. He knows that Jesus can heal, and just by a command from Jesus, this can happen. So the centurion, it's a pretty amazing picture. He sends the elders, the local rulers of the synagogue, off to Jesus to ask him, "Can you come and heal this person?" The centurion, then when Jesus is on his way, doesn't go out to him. He sends his friends out to mediate between himself and Jesus. In faith, he knows that Jesus can do this thing. He doesn't need to be there in person. He, in fact, doesn't feel like he's even worthy to go to Jesus. Isn't that a good picture of our Christian life? Who's worthy of the love of Christ? He sends mediators out to talk with Jesus. And Jesus says, how amazing is this guy's faith? We think it's tapped into that authority part, but I think maybe it's more part of this community faith that this centurion's wrapped around himself. He's used elders to go to Jesus. He uses his friends to take his needs to Jesus. Isn't that a beautiful picture for us as a church, how our faith can be active? I don't know about you, but in my times of struggle and my times of need, sometimes I find it hard coming before Jesus. Maybe I've fallen down in my sin and know that I shouldn't. Who am I to come before my Lord and ask him for help? But isn't it amazing when we're in a community, when our friends see our need, how they can take our needs to Jesus for us, can present them to Jesus, knowing that he's able to do more than we can ask or imagine. I think that's one important aspect for us today as the church. We're in this together. It's not private faith that we have. I don't know where this notion of private faith ever came from. It's always been a corporate thing. It's always worked through God's people together. We come to a faith in Jesus Christ, but it's never shared, it's never contained alone. I always kind of shudder when I meet those people that say that they're a believer in Christ, but never go to a church, never find a community to belong to. Because I think faith draws us together, doesn't it? We have this common bond in Jesus Christ, but more so, we get to lift each other up in faith. That happens naturally here. I love you guys. I love seeing you pray for each other in the faith talk. When you hear some need, I see you praying for each other. I see it after the service. I think it's amazing. When we're falling short, when we have a need, how we can bring it before others. The centurion had a need for his servant. He had a heart for them, but he couldn't bring it to the Lord. He took it to his friends, to the elders, to take to Jesus. How often in our lives do we hear our friends talking about a need in their lives? They don't know Jesus. They don't know the power of God. But they'll talk about, oh, my friend, she's got cancer. Or, you know, my friend's going through a hard time in her relationship. Or my friend's stuck in an addiction. They don't know the power of God to help. But we, as faithful people who know who Jesus Christ is, what an opportunity for us to say, can I pray for your friend? How can we take the needs of our friends and families as they speak to us and take it to our Lord? You can all be missionaries in this fact. And we all know that God is capable of doing more than we ask or imagine. How about we step out into that place like the centurion did and let God be amazed at our faith as we trust in Him in the everyday. We all know that Jesus can work through us. Jesus promises it to us in John 14:12. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." Jesus is there, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. He loves us. He's died for us. And He tells us we're His children. We can take anything to Him, and His power can work through us. And sometimes, yes, miraculously, He will work through our prayers to bring healing, hope, joy, peace, all the good gifts. And other times, He'll use us in more down-to-earth ways as we bring food to our people in need, who put a loving arm around someone who's crying, who spends time with someone who's suffering just to hear their words. God can use us in His power in many different ways. Like Mark testified to me at the start, he didn't know how anyone could start their day without faith in Jesus. As we step out in our faith in Jesus every day, He does use us in His power to bring glory to His name. Because that's what happened in that community of the centurion. He had a heart for his servant. The servant was healed. The centurion's faith in Jesus. Imagine how that would have multiplied. Imagine how the elders and the leaders of that synagogue, their faith in Jesus would have multiplied through this healing. The friends of the centurion, how they would have all glorified God because of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing as a community? It's great as you share all the wonderful things, the answered prayer that goes on here. How we can lift God up and glorify His name. So it's wonderful, Deb, that you got up this morning and shared how God has been at work in your lives. I pray that you feel comfortable doing that, any of you. If there's answered prayer in your lives, please bring it before the community so we can praise God. Because what encouragement is that for our faith? I did that Silence Breakers course at the start of the year. One of the things they did was hot off the press. Every week they'd get people to send in their testimonies of what God was doing through their witnessing. And it was a beautiful encouragement for everyone doing the course, what God was doing out there in the world. So I encourage you, if there's things going on in your life, if there's praise points, bring them to the church and let's celebrate. Let's bring glory to God. Let's build each other up in our faith. The second reading, well, the first reading that I had was Peter and John going off to the temple. This is, of course, after Jesus has ascended and he's left them to get on with the missionary work of bringing, the good news to the world. And I want to use this second reading, or the first reading, as encouragement to us. Peter and John are just going up to the temple to pray. They're getting on with life. They're praising God. And in their everyday situation, a need comes before them. There's this lame man at the temple asking for money. Funnily enough, he's trusting that money's going to get him through, isn't he? He's got a faith system there. And Peter and John don't have money. They don't buy into that faith system, do they? I love that testimony they give. Silver or gold, we have none. But what we do have, we're going to give you. And wham, bam. Isn't it amazing? A man born lame is able to run around, leap, and praise God. I think it's encouragement for us. We might not see people healed from being lame. But I think it's encouragement for us as we get on with our everyday lives, as we live out this faith that we have in Jesus Christ. When we see needs before us, we need to let the Holy Spirit work through us in power and glory to his name. One of the encouragements from this Silence Breakers course was whenever we're out there, just to be aware of other people's needs. The first week, they got us to go out and pray for healing for people. And I was like, oh, really? I've always struggled with praying for miraculous healing. I know God can, but I've never experienced it in my life, praying over someone. But they said, go and do it. I was like, okay. And we went out and we prayed for people. And it was very humbling to kneel before a lady who had a sore foot and pray over her foot. And I was like, has anything happened? And I was just, please God, let this happen. And it didn't. And I stood up, but the lady put her arm around me and just thanked me so much for caring. I was like, well, that wasn't the miracle I was after, but that was pretty good. It was better than I thought. But I know the other people that did this course did experience some healing. Andrew Cold was with me. He prayed for a guy's back and he got healing. And I was like, oh. And we went away on that kids and dads camp. And I was crippled one morning with my back. And I said, Steve, you've got to pray for healing. Because Steve and I did this part of the course together. And he prayed over my back. And there was healing. I was like, this is incredible. Except it's not, I can't pin it down. I like to pin Jesus down and say, every prayer is going to be answered in this way. Unfortunately, we know he doesn't quite work that way. But he does use our faithfulness as we step out. My encouragement is when you're out and about and you see someone in need, just go and say, look, I know Jesus can do something for you. Can I pray for you? And what's the worst they can do? Pull out their Uzi and mow you down? No. They're going to say no. No thanks, weirdo. Get away from me. And that's okay. Or, surprisingly enough, most of the testimonies is most people say yes. That would be lovely. And you get to pray Jesus into people's lives. They get to witness that you have a faith in a living God who is active and able to do these things. It's challenging stuff, isn't it? So when you're out and about, when you see people this week, if you see someone who's having a hard time, just say, I can see you're struggling. Can I pray for you? And just see. See how God opens up that opportunity. Silver or gold, I have none. But in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. It's Chantel, you got something to share? Yeah, people need to hear this. Here we go. Hello, Catherine.
I'm not a good prayer, but in my heart, I know that when I pray, I believe that God can do something good for me. So I visited Michael at St. John of God, and I said, I don't know. God, can you do something? Please help me. Michael, I need him to come home because I'm sick. Every day, Gabby's alone at home. I need Michael to come home. So I asked Michael if I could pray for him. He said yes. And then after they discharged Michael, he came back home. I visited Gabby again. I was full of tears because the way that Gabby was sad, I was also feeling the same way. I asked again, can I pray for you, Michael? He said, yes. I went home. I didn't feel anything, honestly. And then Michael and Gabby told me that, Chantal, we have something to tell you. After your prayer, God answered. The nurse was coming at home to do their job, as usual, wound cleaning. But the nurse said to Michael, I'm not coming back. I think that's it, you're healed. Amen.
When we read the Bible, we know it's truth. We see the healing power that Jesus could bring into people's lives, and he's promised that he can use us. I think he just wants us to show our faith in stepping out. Yeah. Come up the front, so no one has to feel weird in turning around.
Thank you. This may go for a little while, I am sorry, but it's a bit involved. But I have been away a lot, and I travelled to South Australia in my car recently, and 2.5 years ago I did that. I actually drove across to Queensland to pick up my teardrop trailer. So December 2016, I'm at a town called Kimber, which is in South Australia, and I have subsequently learned to loathe. But anyway, I was... Dot knows Kimber, she's laughing. I was rolling up the awning on my teardrop camper, so you've got 2.5 metre by 2.5 metre, in effect, a sail, and I'm rolling it up. You know, you walk and roll. Well, a wind caught it, blew it up. I got knocked over on my back, had the breath knocked out of me, and as it turned out, I had my right wrist broken. So no one came to help. That was a pretty full campground, but no one came to help. And I realised things were a bit dodgy when I tried to put the jockey wheel up. And, of course, I had a broken wrist, so there was no hope of that. So I did actually manage to get some help. But anyway, Kimber has a chemist and a doctor, but not a hospital and not a radiological facility. I sort of thought, I had to get home for Christmas. It was my sister's first Christmas. I had to get home for Christmas. And by this stage, it was about the 14th or 15th of December. So I went to a chemist. I thought, I'll get one of those bandages, you know. And anyway, that chemist, he was so lovely. And the long story is, I was actually in shock. By the time I got to him, I was quite teary. And he actually strapped my wrist for me. And I drove home to Perth. So my claim to fame is at 60 years old, I drove 2,500 kilometres across Australia with a broken wrist. I was actually quite impressed because I felt like the world's biggest fool. It was sort of like, you know, you shouldn't have done that. But then where was I going to leave my car and where was I going to need my new teardrop? And one of my sons, who by this stage is in his mid-30s, they're not into complimenting their mother. But he actually... when he sort of saw my wrist and realised the significance, and he sort of says, actually, Mum, that was pretty hardcore. It's like, oh. Anyway, but the thing is, as time went on, I actually realised with that broken wrist, it's not as strong as it was, and I've actually been in pain for 2.5 years. So the cast wasn't that wonderful, and I had some issues with it, and I ended up getting tendonitis in the right forearm. And so I've been quite weak with it, but you know, hey, you just get on and it's something you have to live with. And I do hang out with Christians who believe in the Word of God and believe that we're healed by the stripes of Jesus, and we believe that there are various things that can come upon you. And I truly felt there was actually a spirit of oppression that came on from, I suppose, really the shock and the fear of the falling over. Like, it was a really big jolt. I was very shaky when I got up. I then had to drive across Australia. That first night when I was in a motel, so there's no way I was getting in the teardrop anymore, that I call that my dark night of the soul, because I was all alone in a motel room. And this forearm and wrist, they were huge, and they were purple and black. And I took the bandage off. You know, you can't really shower with a bandage. And I was sort of thinking like, oh, you know, hopefully it's just a sprain, a bad sprain, but hopefully it's just a sprain. And anyway, I was just that night, it was me and the Lord just curled up in the fetal position and crying out to him, like, Lord, what can I do? Like, I can't leave my car here. I was in Nundroo. I was in the middle of nowhere. It's like, anyway, so the bottom line was the Lord got me through that night, and I got home and I had it looked after. Tendinitis for 2.5 years. Well, 2.5 years later, I'm now in Matilda's the name of my teardrop. I'm in my teardrop doing a trip for pleasure across to South Australia. And I ended up at the Flinders Ranges, and as I'm coming back, the whole trip was like, oh, like this time last time. I do that. I'm a little bit obsessive compulsive, I suppose. So coming back from the Flinders Ranges and going to Kimber again, and a number of friends had said to me, you must go back to Kimber. You're like, you need to stay there. It's a really nice place. You need to make good memories. And at the last place I had stayed, I know this is a ramble, I'm sorry, but at the last place I had stayed, a lady actually made a comment. It was about her daughter, but she commented that her daughter had got quite bitter about something. And I've had a few things happen actually over 20-odd years from where I live, and I can get quite upset and wound up very quickly. And I've actually turned into a real grump, and sometimes I wonder what happened to the 30-year-old me, because she's vanished. And this lady spoke about her daughter, and she was saying, in actual fact, I think she's a bit bitter about the whole thing. And as her words landed on me, I just felt like a bomb went off, and I thought, I'm bitter. And I thought back over all the things that had got me to that point, and it was like, oh my goodness. So anyway, I'm back to driving, and my car is my prayer closet. So that first trip over was a road trip with the Lord. I was listening to Derek Prince's sermon on the Hebrews. I listened to that 3 times. I was singing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, praying in English, praising God. It was an amazing trip. So my car is my prayer closet. So I'm now driving, and it's like, okay, Lord, so I'm bitter. Like, what can I do about it? And the Holy Spirit straight up said, you know what to do. I was like, oh, nuts. Okay. So, of course, I had to forgive everybody who had done all the things over the 20-odd years. So I don't know how many kilometres it was, but I'm driving along doing my 100Ks, and the Lord was bringing up the names of people. If you'd asked me, like, 2 days ago who was such and such, I would have gone, what? All these names are coming up, and I'm having to repent. Like, I felt I was wronged, but anyway, like, I was wrong, but my reaction was sinful, it was fleshly, I took offence, I held grudges, I became bitter, and he just kept bringing up all these names of people. So it's like, okay, Lord, you know, and I would go through that, I would repent. I sort of thought, this is actually too big and it's been too long, it can't just be a blanket, oh, I forgive all my neighbours. I've sort of lived in a suburb where, like, parties and loud music and all that, they just go on all the time, and I've turned into a real grump. Every single neighbour, in fact, who'd lived in one house, he brought up the names of all the people who'd ever lived there, and I had to forgive them all. And it took a long time, lots of kilometres. And I had to, like, repent of my sinful reactions and what I had held on to, and to loose them from me. And so the kilometres are going by, and I could just feel this stuff happening. It was getting lighter. Stuff was coming off. And then as I pray, I can get a bit more wound up. And so then, like, that's all over. It's like, wow, so what else, Lord? And then it's like my wrist. And see, I was approaching Kimber. So it had been, I'd got to Kimber, had broken my wrist, had got home, lived my life, gone back again, and I was coming back to the place where the broken wrist and the oppression and the pain and the tendinitis all started. So the Lord dealt with all that bitterness and I was feeling significantly lighter and feeling quite encouraged. And then it's like the wrist and Kimber. And so I'm getting quite wound up in my prayer. And so now the short version is praying about things, sort of loosed all these people, and now my wrist, Lord. And by that stage, you quote scripture, and it's like, you know, the word says that that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. And it is in your word, Lord, and it is true, and you don't lie. And when I said that, something happened in my forearm. I felt something. It was like a snap. And the tendonitis went away. So I would just like to praise God. And the wonderful thing was, then I get to Kimber, and like I did the trip, but the way it should have been. I was towing my teardrop again, and I was going back over all those places. But this time my wrist was right and the tendonitis was healed. And just praise God, he is so wonderful. And I would just like to say again, like the name of Jesus, that's what we have as Peter and John has. And in the name of Jesus, he healed me. I was healed. I am healed. I have no tendonitis still in my right forearm. So all glory to Lord Jesus, and I encourage you, call on the name of our Lord, because he is good.
Thanks, Diane, for sharing. I've just got a vision of a new ministry. We'll just get a bus and make people drive across the Nullarbor and have it out with God. But how good is God? We know his power is at work in and through us because we've come to faith in Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, the power of God is at work in you. The Holy Spirit is on you. And that means we can call on his name for many great things. But I pray as you think about that, not just for your own life, but think about bringing that into the lives of others. Let your faith shine through your words, your actions, how you care for people, how you draw them into community. And through all these things, we know God is more than capable of doing anything that we ask or imagine. So we'll be able to bring him love and praise and glorify his name in everything that he does for us. So remember this week, faith is the assurance and confidence that God is who he says he is and will do what he says he will do. If faith alone in him and trust in his promises, it's faith in him alone and his promises that enables us to step out confidently in all that we do. So as children of God, step out in faith each and every day to the glory of his name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guide your hearts and minds into the power of Christ Jesus. Amen. All right.